So on Tuesday mornings for years, we've had a 50s plus Bible study here at the church. And when we first got here, Abby and I was 2015, and almost 10 years ago, and it used to meet in this room over here. We called it the blue room because the walls were blue, the floor was blue, and the chairs were blue. Okay, so there's the blue room. And if it's still the blue room, if you ask me, I can't get over it. Okay, so that's where it is. So it was over here. And at the beginning of the 50s plus Bible study, we would sing a hymn or two. And every once in a while, they would say, Elliot, can you bring your guitar over and do that? And I would say, yeah, that sounds really fun. So I would go over a little bit early and kind of chat with people. And I just really enjoyed doing that. And one time, I had this conversation with Betty Sherwood that I will never forget as long as I live. And if you already know this story, I apologize. But I'm going to tell it again because it's fun, man. She and Jesse had been married for 60 plus years. And one of my favorite questions to ask people who've been married longer than me is, what's your secret? How did you do that? Give me some of that wisdom. And so I asked her, and I almost had zero conversations with her, maybe one or two at this point. And so I wasn't ready for what was about to happen. And so I said, how long have you been married? And she told me, I was like, man, that's incredible. What is the secret? And she looked me dead in the face and said, I'm too lazy to move. And I was like, oh, okay. We are going to be friends. We're going to get along great. And I'll never forget that, man. And Abby and I are approaching 20 years of marriage. It'll be, yeah, praise God. She does deserve that. Yeah, she does. So it'll be 18 years here in December, and I don't know how she puts up with me. She is the embodiment of love endures all things. We've seen some stuff. We've seen some stuff together. We've been through a lot. I was 21 when we got married, and we didn't have any money, but we had love, and it's a good thing, too, because we had no money, okay? And so we've struggled in all kinds of areas in our lives. We've been through financial struggles. We struggled to have children, and we struggled being away from family because both of our fathers are in ministry, and so are we, so we weren't going to live close to them, and that's been a struggle. But she's been there with me the whole time. She's been there through the loss of every one of my grandparents. She was there the day I had to preach the funeral of one of my best friends. She was there. She's been there through so many hard relational moments. And, you know, as a pastor, when your friends leave the church, it's real hard not to take it personal, even if it's not. And sometimes it is. And it's hard, man. And she's been there through all of it. She's seen every one of my faults. She knows all of my immaturities. And man, I want this marriage to go the distance. I want to be able to say 60 plus years from now with a sparkle in my eye when somebody says, hey, what's the secret? I want to be able to say, I was too lazy to move. I want to do that. The long-lasting marriages are rare these days, aren't they? Matter of fact, long-lasting relationships of any kind seem to be increasingly rare. And when you're in a relationship with somebody, whether it's romantic or whether it's not, there are plenty of things that you have to endure. And there are a lot of great things too, and we enjoy all of those things. But can we be honest with each other for just a second and say that our relationships aren't really defined by the good times, though we like those, but they're defined by how we love each other through the hard times, aren't they? They're not just defined by the good times, but they're defined by how we love each other through the hard ones. You know, how do we know who really loves us? How do we know who really loves us? Well, I think we look at the people that we gave every reason to leave and stayed anyway. I think if we want to know who really loves us, we take a look at our lives and go, man, I gave this person every reason to walk away and they didn't. That's who really loves us. And if we're honest with each other, we know that we give people reasons to leave all the time, don't we? We give people all kinds of reasons to walk away because sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we're rude. We keep record of wrongs. We're envious and impatient and arrogant. But there are people in our lives who stay anyway. Why? Because they love us. And because they love us, they're willing to endure our faults while we're becoming the people that God is shaping us to be. It's hard to love like that, isn't it? It's hard to love like that. But a love like that says they're worth it. It says they are worth it. But most of us don't love like that. Most of us are trying to figure out, like, where's the line? Like, if they cross that one, then it'll be okay for me to walk away because I've had enough. They're irritating. It's inconvenient. They always want stuff. And it's just enough. When's enough enough? And for the record, I just want to be really clear. I'm not saying that you should stick around in an abusive relationship. Okay? Hear me very clearly. I'm not saying you should stick around in an abusive relationship. And if that's where you find yourself today, please let us know. We will help you. Okay? Please let us know. We will help you. So I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that most of us don't have a love that endures a whole lot. We just get irritated and whatever. But if we want to love better, we're called to have a love that endures all things. And that's the kind of love that we're meant to have for one another, not just in our marriage relationships, by the way. This is the kind of love that people talk about. Why? Because that kind of love is rare. And that kind of love is beautiful. And Paul talks about what love is supposed to look like in 1 Corinthians 13. We've been camping out there for a little while now. We're going to be there for the next 2 weeks as well. So if you want to go ahead and open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's where we're going to be. And if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab and look for Swiss Cove in there as well. And we usually hear this passage at weddings. I've preached 2 weddings in the last month. I use this passage at both of them. But I just want to remind you that this passage wasn't originally written for a wedding. It was written because there was division in the church. And Paul said, this is how you heal it. You love each other like this. So today I want to take a look at the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what Paul had to say. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul said, love is more than what you say. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. He said, love's more than what you know and more than what you believe, too. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is even more than what you give. Love is patient and kind. Does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. We talked about that last week. Endures all things. Love never ends. Now, the word that Paul is using here for endure, it means to stay behind or to wait. To endure, to stay behind or to wait. If you truly love somebody, you will patiently wait for them, won't you? It's like when your kids are walking behind you at the mall and you're like, would you just please move your feet just a little bit faster? You'll wait for them. When they're serving our country overseas, you'll wait for them. If you love that person, you will wait to have sex with them until you're married. You'll wait to live with them until you're married. If you love them, you'll wait in the waiting room all night if that's what it takes. While you're waiting on the results of that test and make sure that surgery went well, you'll wait for them. You'll wait and you'll endure whatever is necessary. Why? Because they're worth it. Because they're worth it. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he asked his apostles to stay in Jerusalem. Why? To wait on the promise of the Father. It's Acts 1:4. The Holy Spirit was coming, but they were going to have to wait. Then, after the Holy Spirit came, they were going to have to endure all kinds of things for Jesus. They would be persecuted and killed because of him. But I think that they would agree that Jesus is worth it. Yeah? Jesus is worth it. Anybody remember what Jesus did right after his baptism? Like immediately. Right after his baptism, what did he do? Well, here's what he didn't do. He didn't go to church for a month. He didn't go to church for a whole month. He didn't pay a single tithe. He didn't go to the Next Steps class. He didn't read the Torah. What did he do? He followed the Spirit into a time of waiting. He went out into the wilderness for 40 days. And Jesus waited in the wilderness for 40 days after his baptism and began his ministry. And during that time, what did he do? Well, he fasted and prayed, and he was tempted by the devil. And that seems like a little bit of an odd choice, especially for those of us type A's who need to get things done, and we need to get it done right now. Because, you know, he's God. He knows the timeline already. He knows he's only going to have 3 years of public ministry. So why are you wasting the first 40 days sitting out in the wilderness doing nothing? Why? Well, it's because Jesus knows something that too often we forget. And that is that waiting and wasting time are not the same thing. Waiting and wasting time are not the same thing. What was Jesus doing? He was drawing closer to his Father. And God was shaping him for the ministry that was on the way. He waited on God, and his love gave him the ability to endure what was coming. Remember what it says in Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3? It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he what? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who what? Endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Church, you know it wasn't the cross or the nails that held Jesus there, right? It was his love for you, his love for me. He endured for the joy set before him. Well, what does that mean? What's the joy set before him? The throne? Well, maybe, but I don't think so. You know, and here's the reason. If he was just looking forward to the throne, he already had that. He didn't have to come down here to get that. So why did he come down here? He came down here to make a way for you and me. He came down here because he said, you're worth it. He said, you're worth it. He endured everything so that he could give you everything. He wanted to make a way for you and me to be made right with God. And it wasn't possible before because the sin in our own lives is what messed it up to begin with. So he wanted to make a way for you and I to be able to have a relationship with God and spend eternity with him. And if you're not absolutely sure that that's where you're headed, please come talk to me before you leave today. I'll be down here in just a few minutes. I'd love to talk with you. You don't even have to wait till service is over. Just come chat with me. And if you don't want to come down front, or you don't want to talk to me, find somebody else that has a name tag on. That means they're a staff member here at Swiss Cove, or they're one of our elders. And we would love to walk with you through taking your next step of faith and beginning a relationship with Jesus. And if you're with us on the stream, you can email us at hello@SwissCoveChristian.com, and I pray that you will. Many of you in this room right now, or even on the stream, have already made this decision. So I want to ask you a question that's not rhetorical. Okay, so I just want to ask you this. Do you love Jesus? Yeah? That's good. So let's drill a little deeper. Are you willing to wait for him? Are you willing to wait for him? Because this is a little bit harder question, because I know a lot of you, and I know that you struggle to wait for anything, because we got to go. We got to do the stuff. Are you willing to wait for Jesus? And now, when I say wait for Jesus, I don't mean sit around, do nothing, stare at the wall. That's not what I mean. Okay. Are you willing to wait for God to shape your life? Are you willing to sit with him in the stillness and allow him to shape you into the person that he wants you to become? Because some of you, you're ready. You're like, I'm going to take on the world right now, the old preacher phrases. I'm ready to charge hell's gates with a water gun. Okay? You're ready to go. But for some of you, what you need to do is just wait and sit with Jesus and allow him to shape you. You know why this matters? It matters because if you're going to follow Jesus, there are going to be some things that are coming down the road. There are going to be some things that you're going to have to endure. They're going to be hard. But believe me when I say this, Jesus is worth it. And here's where it gets even harder, though, okay? Because somehow you believe Jesus is worth it, but his people, Some of you are like, Jesus, yeah, I love him. His people, I could, maybe do without a few of them. And I'll be the first to admit that Christians, we can be hard to love sometimes, yeah? I include myself in this statement, by the way. Christians can be hard to love sometimes, but here's the thing. You don't get to say you love Jesus and not his people. You don't get to say that. And that's not me talking. I don't know that I love that either, but I don't get to argue with God. And here's what he said in 1 John. For whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I don't know about you, that seems pretty clear to me. It seems pretty clear. And it makes sense because you don't get to come and tell me, Elliot, I love you, but I hate your kids. That's not how that works. No, you don't. You don't get to say that to me. You don't get to say it to Jesus either. Jesus, I love you, but your people are the worst. You're going to say, Jesus, I love you, but I hate the people you bled and died to save. You don't get to say that. Love endures. Love is willing to wait while God shapes you and while he shapes them. Because he's working in your life, right? Right? Yeah, he's working in mine too. And also, he's working in theirs. Okay? He's working in their life too. And church, I just have to tell you, we're going to go through some stuff together. We are. And some of you already have. Some of you have been here for a long time, and you've had plenty of reason to walk away, but you didn't. You chose to stay, and that's how you love better. That's how you love better. That's the kind of love that people talk about. That kind of love is rare, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and it's that kind of love that changes lives and changes the world. So church, this is who we're going to be. We're going to be a church who has a love that endures all things, because we say it all the time. We're in this together. We say it every week. We're in this together, and that doesn't mean we're in it together until you make me mad. It doesn't mean we're in it together until it gets hard. Or until I don't like the music that we sang today. We're in it together because we love Jesus. We're in it together because we love each other. We're in this together because we love people who are lost, and we want to do everything we can to see them come into a relationship with Jesus. So church, we're going to show the world what this kind of love looks like. That's what we're going to do. And when we get frustrated, and we will, we're going to remember that Jesus thought those people were worth dying for. Jesus thought those people were worth dying for. We're going to love them the way that Jesus loves us. And when we love like Jesus, people are going to ask, how can you do that? How can you stick by them? They're crazy. They don't treat you right. How can you do that? And when they ask, we'll smile. And with a sparkle in our eye, we'll say, too lazy to move. And then we'll laugh and we'll tell them about how our Savior loves us and is teaching us how to love one another better. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these people that you love so much. Father, may we love each other well. And may we remember that the people outside of this room, you love them just as much. May we love them well too. Thank you for sending Jesus to give his life for us. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.